Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside what's going to be a hot final couple hours of the show tonight. I can feel the temperature through my headphones. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com, I hope you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Iowa survives. They hold on against UConn. They head to the national championship game, but are embroiled in all sorts of controversy. The most controversial play in basketball this year. In the final seconds of this Final Four game, a heavyweight bout. Like you could say anything you want to, any kind of cliche you want. It was that kind of game. UConn had a great strategy early. It was working. They were limiting Caitlin Clark. Eventually, UConn got a little tired. Caitlin Clark was able to get loose. The Iowa Hawkeyes figured out a way to get her the ball a little bit more in the second half. But UConn gets a couple of turnovers in the final minute to cut the lead to one. UConn has the ball with about 10 seconds left to go, down by one. A made shot by Paige Beckers or someone else, and UConn's going on in the national championship game. A miss, and it's going to be Iowa. And it's a make-or-miss league, no matter what you want to say. It's a make-or-miss league.
I've heard that before.
We didn't even get that because this is how the final seconds played out, and this is why everybody is hot across the country. UConn gets the ball to Beckers, who passes out of it, and each team had a foul to give. I can't tell.
Looks
if...
Looks like turnover.
Are they calling a turnover? Are they calling a foul? Yeah, they're calling a foul. Yeah, oh my goodness, they're calling a foul. Marshall tried to make it through a screen, and they are calling a push off on UConn.
So no shot for Connecticut on that possession.
This is going to turn the ball over to Iowa with 4 seconds left to go. Wow, that's some kind of call to make right there.
You could just hear the emotion, the crowd noise in the background.
Yes, there it is.
No, we did find the actual call, ESPN.
To the title game on the line. Mule, the drive, 5 seconds left. Looking for Beckers and an offensive foul. An offensive foul.
Yeah, that is something. Because
I don't know. I think our call was better. I think our call was better.
Except for the lack of crowd noise.
Yeah.
Because we're in studio.
Because we were more right. How do you make that call? Like, real, how do you make that call?
The one thing that I will put in the Iowa favor is that the pick was not quite set as the defender is going by the woman setting the pick. Usually you set the pick, you get your arms in front of you. She was getting her arms in front of her as the defender was starting to go by. And then it was the reaction, clearly, of the defender that I think helped the call. And also what helped the call, what we brought up last hour. We see this in other leagues. It's the big men setting the pick against the little guard, and so you get more of a physical reaction on the contact. It just seemed like the guard defending Marshall for Iowa, she could have gone around the pick a little bit more, you know, follow the person she's guarding instead of going straight into the pick.
Look, to be honest, again, the couple of things we talked about a few minutes ago, I don't know what kind of shot UConn was really going to get off at that point. But you mentioned it there a little bit. Marshall gets a ton of credit because she sold that call really well. I mean, at that point, you would think that if you're going to sell this call, I know she wants to continue on and stay in the play, but that's where almost I would have gone and I would just fell to the ground. Whoa, what's this? Oh, I got hit. But she sells the call really well. You know, she moves back or her head snaps back a little bit. She looks over, and that whistle was right away. But that's the thing that gets me, Steve, about this is that this whistle was blown right away. And this is why conspiracy theorists are going to have a field day, and I can't disagree with them. Because, of course, do the networks want Caitlin Clark? Of course they want Caitlin Clark in the championship game. This whistle was blown so fast, like they were looking for it. Like, when this happens, I'm going to blow the whistle for this foul. Like, this official was looking to say, I'm going to blow the whistle on this, boom, and I'm blowing it right there. And you've seen a lot of screens were set all night. You had to watch Nika Mule run around all kinds of screens to try to stay on Caitlin Clark. They were setting 3 and 4 screens per play, Iowa was, just to get Caitlin Clark the basketball. It was insane. And you saw a very physical game with those all night. And on that one, we're going to blow the whistle. I mean, that's what gets you when I think, were they looking to blow the whistle there? I mean, were they looking, hey, you know, this is really going to help Iowa at that point? I can't say no, because that it was blown so fast that, oh, yeah, right away the play. I mean, Beckers gets the ball, and the whistle is blown. Like, that's how fast it was. There's no lag time at all between that and, hey, here's a whistle, I see it. It was instantaneous.
Well, it was obvious contact.
I'm watching this play, and here it is. Here's the foul.
Obvious contact. It's just they called it on the defender set, or the offense setting the pick, not the defender going into someone much larger and not trying to get around the person setting the pick. I'm glad you mentioned Mule's name with all the defense she was playing for UConn tonight against Clark and Iowa. Mule is the person who had the steal and three-pointer with under a minute to go when, not for the first time, it looked like UConn was going to be out of this game because a favorable second half for Iowa was going to give them the game. But three-pointers were hit, a couple of clutch ones in the final minutes for UConn. However, even after that call that we mentioned with 4 seconds left, there were two other mistakes from Connecticut that cannot be avoided that are part of the conversation, because Caitlin Clark did miss the second of her two free throws, and UConn did not get the rebound to have a final possession. And then even when Clark, after that, with a second to go, is inbounding, Beckers turns her back right to Clark, who's ready to pass it. So she just passes it off the back of the legs of Beckers and runs another, 8 tenths off the clock. So two mistakes late, not just the foul called, controversial as it was.
You know what it reminded me of? And look, we've seen a fair share of this, where you see a whistle blown at the end and you say, no matter what, no matter where you come down on, hey, how do you feel about a whistle being blown in that? Was it a foul? Was it not? Look, you don't want the officials to decide a game. You don't want to be talking about the officials following a game. And when you're talking this much about the officials, you know the wrong call was made. When I have to see players who have no skin in the game at all have to say, you don't blow the whistle in that situation. You don't blow the whistle in that situation. Yeah, I know we're on the right side of it. And anybody who's not is just, hey, I want to look for attention because I want to say, oh, it was a good call. No, it wasn't a good call. Right? And to play it out, let's just say there's no call made. Is anybody going crazy saying, oh my goodness, how is that block not called on Aliyah Edwards? How is that not called? Look, Marshall runs right into her. Look, how is that not called? No, nobody is saying that at all. Now, maybe in film sessions in Iowa, when they break it down at the end, if the final shot is made and UConn wins, they're saying, oh, man, look at that. That was crazy. Oh, can you believe that didn't get called? But no one is saying that. No one is saying, can you believe that is called? That's called at that point. And the officials, who is, again, you know, you hear the old phrase all the time, hey, you know, people come to the game to watch me referee. I just still can't get over it, and I can't get over that the end of that game was robbed of the ending that we should have gotten, which was, hey, was it an iffy call to make? Yeah, if it's an iffy call to make, you don't make it, right? You can't tell me specifically that was 100% a foul. No, even the people that want to say it was a foul, we'll have to give you that. Yeah, that could go either way. And if it's if it could go either way, then you keep the whistle in your pocket, right? Then you don't blow the whistle because you decided the outcome of the game. And you know what it reminded me of, Steve, was the national championship game in college football. It was 2001 or 2002.
Ohio State
in Miami, where the final play was a fourth down play for Ohio State in overtime, and an incomplete pass was thrown, and the game was over, and Larry Coker's the head coach of Miami. He's taking the headset off. They won. And after like a 2 or 3 second delay, the official throws the flag that's a penalty in the end zone. Ohio State gets a fresh set of downs. They score. They wind up winning the game and winning the national championship. And that's what that reminded me of, is that that's a call that could go either way. And if it's a call that could go either way, you don't blow the whistle. And that guy waited like 2 seconds to go.
Not like tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw the flag on that. You're going to throw the flag? What are you kidding? But that's kind of what it reminded me of, is that you're in an either-or play at the end of a game, and it didn't have any effect on the outcome of the game, and they blew the whistle. And they cost UConn a chance at that with a play that could go either way. And that's what's wrong about it. That's the whole thing. Look, if it's over the top foul, it's a foul. You blow the whistle. I get it. You can't just ignore stuff and say no. But that's something that, hey, that's an either way play. You don't blow that whistle. You don't cost that game. You let the players have to decide the game at that point.
Yes. Yeah, so
unless
in other
it's
words,
obvious that you had to blow the whistle and it was not obvious.
In other words, the phrase that sometimes people bring up, I don't want the referee deciding the game. We don't want it the other way either. When I used to cover the NHL, you'd see a trip in the final 2 minutes and it wouldn't get called, whereas with 12 minutes to go, it would. It was obvious. It was a penalty, but it wasn't getting called because, quote, the official didn't want to decide. Well, by not calling it, you are deciding the game. So you got to be careful not to go the other way either. When you were going to bring up an example, it came from college football. I thought you were going to bring up from late 80s national championship in men's basketball, when Ramil Robinson for Michigan got to go to the free throw line to win the national title in overtime against Seton Hall, because there was just a rub at the top of the key, not much of a foul, and they did at that point of the game call a whistle and sent Michigan to the line. Here, one thing that we have not at all thought about, the possibility of this call. Okay, you have a star for Connecticut, Aliyah Edwards, frontline player, setting the pick and getting called for the foul. An offensive foul, an illegal pick, turnover, and UConn's offense never gets the ball again. What if they whistle and the quick call coming from the ref is, okay, Iowa ran into the pick, so someone's going to line for UConn down one. That's just as likely, right? As soon as you whistle to stop play, that is just as likely. Oh, Marshall ran right into him. And then Edwards, who's, what, 18 points a game, might be going to the line here down one.
I mean, I can't say any, you know, I see all this stuff and everybody's going crazy on social media about how, yes, everybody wanted Caitlin Clark in the championship. And what I can say is, yeah, I can't say anything to say you're crazy. Normally I can tell conspiracy theorists, hey, listen, do you really think this is a guy? And I can be very, like people who think the world is flat. Listen, I can very succinctly tell you why the world is not flat. And I understand, but I get it if you think. But this is one of those where I go, yeah, I can't go the other way and say, come on, what is at stake that this call is made at that moment with the whistle blown that quickly, watching for that call? Now we need to go back to
Occam's razor here, which actually came up on the show, remember, about a week or two ago, where the simplest explanation is most often the correct explanation. In other words, take a razor to all the arguments and chisel things down to the basics, the essence. What's more logical is, having watched a lot of college basketball, men's and women's over the years, is that there are a lot of imperfect officials. And that it's a bad call, and that's not necessarily a complete and total conspiracy to see who's going to be in Sunday's title game.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Steve, because the next part of this conversation, I will tell you exactly from experience what it is like to watch an official who wants to put his imprint on a game. Because if you think it's a, that is a true, true thing. If officials... sometimes they want to be the ones to put their imprint on a game. We'll get to that coming up next, because that's a thing, and that could be really what is at stake right here. I wanted to make a call that stand out, and I'm ready to blow that whistle because, you know, people come to the game to watch me referee. That's coming up next. Jason Smith, Steve DeSager, as we continue to break down the biggest controversy in basketball this year. That's next right here. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your...
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Steve DeSager in for Harmon tonight as we break down the biggest controversy in basketball this year. The illegal screen call on Aliyah Edwards with 4 seconds left to go that turned a potential UConn game-winning hoop into a turnover. And Iowa and Caitlin Clark move on to the national championship. Now, we're going to hear from Diana Taurasi. And I remember Diana Taurasi, big UConn legend. There was a big, ESPN2 had a big, like, Manning cast of the game tonight with all UConn people. They had her and they had Breanna Stewart, like all UConn people.
Sue Bird, yeah.
Here's Diana Taurasi. talking about the foul call that we're going to be talking about all weekend. Here's her opinion of the whistle being blown on Aliyah Edwards.
So remember, they're all watching this together, three UConn grads live, first voice, Sue Bird.
Triple handoff happening. You better hurry up. What? Oh, crack back! For the win.
Moving screen?
Moving screen, says Brianna Stewart.
Wow. What an unfortunate time to call an offensive foul.
Diana Taurasi.
I want to see a shot at least.
Just know how to ruin the game.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Well, there you go.
Well, now, with a grain of salt, of course, UConn players are going to think it was terrible. Of course, they're going to think it was terrible.
But even Kelsey Plum, who was there, tweeted out, you know, like,
yes. Yeah, Kelsey
awful.
Plum,
what a way to decide the game.
Yeah. And I love everybody on social media trying to say, no, of course it wasn't. It was the right call to make. Whatever. Look, like I said, all fouls aren't created equally. But you brought up something a few minutes ago, Steve, that we talk about the most likely answer to why that foul was called. And yes, conspiracy theorists are going to have a field day with, oh yeah, ESPN wants Caitlin Clark in the championship. Well, of course they do. Right? They don't have Norby anymore. They want Caitlin Clark in the national championship game. So they want Caitlin Clark there. Of course, it's better for everybody. It's better for everything. And we're going to hear from Gino Auriemma coming up in a few minutes, what he has to say about the final call. But maybe the best answer is this, and I can take you back and tell you specifically that, yes, I have seen this kind of officiating before. Now, I've coached, I tell you all the time, I coach a lot of youth league. I coach my daughter in soccer and softball at a pretty high level for the last few years. And there are many games that we played, whether they're tournament, not so much a regular season game, but if we're playing in a tournament or we're playing in a playoff game or playing in the state tournament, where both in soccer and in softball, the official slash umpire, you can tell, is one of those umpires that shows up to the field and says, yeah, this is my game. This is the game between these two teams as doled out by me. Like, this is for the nobody comes to the game to see you referee.
There may or may not still be a home plate umpire like that in Major League Baseball.
There's a few of them, right? We see Angel Hernandez.
Used to be more, yeah.
Yeah, Angel Hernandez just caught a stray right there. but I've seen at youth levels where I know this person has come to the game to put their stamp on it and say, I'm going to make these calls. I remember playing in the state tournament 2 years ago. We lost in the semifinals, my daughter's softball team, and we played a team with a great pitcher, and the first inning goes by and she was throwing a rise ball that was at least a foot out of the strike zone, but it looked great, and he was calling, all three of our top three hitters all struck out swinging, and I just walked up to him and I said, isn't that a little high? A little high? And he goes, nope. No. And I'm like, okay, they're not. I said, boy, it's going to be a long day if you keep calling them like that. And that's how he called it the entire game. My team, that I don't think they struck out in the game total more than five times all year. They struck out 14 times. If you had video of this game, this girl was going to go to college on a scholarship. Because
this is
game.
Like the Levon Hernandez playoff game,
yeah,
right, with the Marlins?
This is insane. I'm sitting here going, and the girls are coming back to the dugout, and I said, don't change your approach. Don't change your approach. Don't swing at something that's not a strike. This is just the way it's going. You have to be focused. You got to be mentally focused. You got to hit that pitch. You got to lay off the rise ball. He's calling it a strike. There's not a lot you can do because it's not a pitch you can hit. If you throw a rise ball, it's really difficult to hit. It's the most difficult pitch to hit in all of softball. And he kept calling. I'm going, we struck out 14 times, and we lost 3-2, and we wound up having to go through the loser's bracket to move on to the tournament. But that game, and I'm like, okay, unbelievable. So we wind up losing and in the semifinals. And the state championship game is that team against another team. And I happen to know the dad of the team they were playing against. He says to me, he says, all right. He says, coach, he says, what do you tell me? What do you think? And I said, if they call the rise ball for a strike against our team, against your team, like they did against our team, you're going to have a long night. If they don't call the rise ball for a strike, you're going to walk around the bases and win this game pretty big. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. And he went and he told the other parents that. And I went and I watched and I watched the game. And sure enough, she did not get those calls. She walked a bunch and they won like 15-1. And I'm going, this is unbelievable. And it shows you that when an umpire wants to make those calls and wants to give somebody something, it's going to happen because I'm putting my imprint on this game. I've seen it happen in soccer. I've seen the flow of play stop because a guy wants to blow a whistle. I lost a championship game because he blew a whistle because two players collided in the box in the final minute and he gave the girl a penalty. And the entire stands wanted to kill this guy. And I'm like, how are you blowing that whistle? But I'm the referee. I'm in charge of this game. And you see it at every level. And it doesn't surprise me that you see it here in a national championship type game in a Final Four game where clearly I am ready to go make that call. Because that's a call at the end. You swallow the whistle on that. You don't. It doesn't affect the play at all. You can go back and see so many different big plays in NBA history and college basketball history and see away from a play somebody just getting torn down from behind. But guess what? They don't blow the whistle on it because it doesn't affect the play. This didn't affect the play. And it was dicey to blow the whistle, but still, it was definitively blown because, hey, I'm putting my imprint on this game. I'm ready to blow the whistle on this, which again would tell you why it was blown so fast. I'm looking for this, and I'm blowing the whistle right here. I'm seeing it, and it's instantaneous that I'm blowing the whistle on this play. So yeah, when you talk about what the most likely explanation is, yeah, I can't say anything bad to the conspiracy theorists, but you want to talk about why it happens? I've seen it happen in youth sports, and this is kind of an extension of youth sports up through college and moving on. Officials come to games, and some of them say, I'm going to put my imprint on the game. We see it in the NBA. We see it with Scott Foster. He did it tonight. He kicked Josh Hart out of the game because he came up a little bit high with his leg. Now, Josh Hart really did come up high with his leg, and maybe he deserved it. But you still see it, right? You see it with guys that come to, okay, we know we're going to get this called. You know Chris Paul's going to lose when Scott Foster is coaching this game. You know when Nick Pivetta was coaching a game, was refereeing a game, the Knicks were going to go to the free throw line 1,000 times.
You know when the Chiefs are playing, you're going to lose that game.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Mahomes is going to get breathed on. It's going to be a 15-yard penalty. It's all going to happen. So, yes, you are going to see stuff like this all the time, and you just have to hope it doesn't happen to flip a game and to make the players on the field not decide. But yet that's exactly what happened tonight. And that whistle was blown by a guy saying, hey, yay, look at me. I got a whistle. And you got to respect me. Bye, Gino Auriemma. Maybe he doesn't like Gino. Maybe he doesn't like a style of play. Whatever it is, all that goes into it. But I've seen it so many times. And I still see that umpire calling that high strike going, come on, man. This ball is not even close to the strike zone. It's an impossible hit. And yet still calling it, still calling it. And when I see that, that's what makes me think of that, because at all levels, because we talked about it now, I talked about it at the youth level, I talked about it at a professional level, you see it at the college level like we saw tonight, there's all officials that want to say, look at me, I'm going to make this call, I want to put my imprint on the game. I'm the one controlling this game, not the players, not the coaches, I'm controlling the game.
Well, there are also incidents, and I saw it in baseball, for example, even today, where ball strike calls are just flat out missed, and not by umpires that are as bad as the one that you mentioned a couple minutes ago. When you see an Angel Hernandez game often in Major League Baseball, and this has been for a few years, it's not only video confirms he makes bad calls, it's that he doubles down and will go ahead and argue anybody who approaches him about his bad calls. And it happens multiple games. That's the thing that you can't stand. So yes, there could be a guy who says, I don't make the mistake and I'm really going to not give any wiggle room for others to think that this might have been a bad call. I will be authoritative and loud, and you can be loud and wrong at the same time. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean necessarily conspiracy. What I want to, as far as this exact play, what I want to point out is once the Iowa defender runs straight into the pick, it's probably going to be a whistle-stopping play, and therefore you've got to call it on either offense or defense. You can't let that go because it was such a collision. Are you correct? I mean, are you with me on this one?
No, I think you can let that go. I don't think the way she flops and flails and her head goes back. I think you can let that go. I think you let that go and say, look, because Marshall did a great job selling the call.
Yeah.
I think you can let that go. Yes, it was a lot of contact, but how many plays do we see tonight? So much contact, and I'm saying, oh, that's going to be – oh, no, no, ball's going the other way. Okay, all right, looked like a lot of contact.
It was a rugged game for three quarters.
And again, it was like watching the Super Bowl the last couple of years where, hey, the game is officiated one way, and then in the final 2 minutes, now we're blowing the whistle. right? Like now we're gonna let you get away with everything we get away with. But now in the final 2 minutes, we're blowing the whistle on this. Like that.
You guys
want to
hear from Aaliyah Edwards?
Oof. Yeah,
really?
We got Aaliyah Edwards.
That was her turnover, her pick.
Okay. Let's hear from Aaliyah Edwards.
Being asked about it. You ready?
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Now, we could wind up getting like Jack Black or Chris Farley, Steve. So just so you know.
Well, Chris Farley's dead.
But you may have
had
something
to bring him
from
up.
Him.
That's Harbin's job to bring up dead people. What are you doing?
Well, he's not here tonight, so I figure somebody had to do it.
Chicago reference.
So it could
are
be
you
Aaliyah
wearing
Edwards.
Purple shorts, too?
But it could. No, I'm not actually. I'm wearing Syracuse shorts right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, those are barf too. Yeah.
Because I'm getting ready for the football season because, you know, basketball, we didn't even make the tournament. So it could be one of those, but it could be Aaliyah Edwards. Again, the foul was called on her on the moving screen.
Aaliyah, were you given an explanation about the foul call and what was your view of it?
No, I wasn't given an explanation. There was no real time to get an explanation for it. My point of view is pretty clean.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, that's what she's going to say. I didn't commit the foul. Look, did she lean a little bit? Yeah. Did she put her arms out? No. She kept her arms in and leaned. And
but
leaned
her arms came
her torso
up.
Torso out.
Usually you have your arms in front of you ready to take contact. You know, that's setting a pick in basketball. And her arms were coming up just a little bit late as the defender was starting to pass her. And that probably didn't help her cause.
Yeah, but again, it's an either way call. It could go either way. Mm-hmm. And that's my set. It's an either way thing. And yet I'm going to blow the whistle and decide the game.
And
there.
Two mistakes still from UConn in the final seconds after that.
You know, Steve, you talk about, but the game was over at that point. Like the game,
not over, because then over. Iowa would have the last possession with what? 3.5, 4 seconds
Iowa
left?
Iowa had the ball with about 4 seconds left. Caitlin Clark goes to the free throw line. She makes one out of two and then misses the second. What's UConn going to do at that point? They would for point four, and then suddenly hits it. But what are they going to do with that? There's 2 seconds left, and they get the ball. Are they going to be able to call timeout? What are they going to be able to do? What kind of shot are they going to be able to get off? Now, the play with the screen took them from they have a chance to win the game to they have almost zero chance to win.
It's by far the most important. I'm just saying the game isn't literally over there, because even if they call it on Marshall on Iowa running into the screen, Edwards may or may not tie the game at the free throw line. Clark is still going to have the ball in her hands at the end, and a long distance shot near midcourt is not difficult for her, and they'll have 3-4 seconds to get it up past midcourt and take a shot at the end.
Now, we've talked a lot about this game tonight. It was a very big game. We'll have more on this and tell you if Caitlin Clark and I were going to have enough to win the championship. But first, the other big story of the night that's starting to get bigger and bigger the more time goes on. Edwin Diaz and his first save of the season for the Mets as they beat the Reds. Steve DeSager has that and more with What's Trending.
He has got clearly a different Twitter altogether. It's not even X. He's on to Z now.
My Twitter is just Diaz, Narco, Mets, Edwin Diaz, Edwin Diaz, Narco. Yeah, that's what it is right there.
Okay, yeah, okay. I'll give it to you. The Mets were 1-5, and they won today. There. 3-2, the final at Cincinnati. I will say the Mets offense went 4-for-30 at the plate, 10 strikeouts, so not much different than what we saw yesterday. Mets split a doubleheader yesterday after rainouts Tuesday and Wednesday. We've got one late game at Anaheim. The early 4-0 lead of the Red Sox was blown. However, Boston has just retaken the lead 6-5 at Anaheim. They are singing at the 7th inning stretch right now. Earlier today, the Cubs won their 5th straight game, beating the Dodgers 9-7. The Dodgers had won 4 in a row. Shohei Ohtani had a 2-run homer. Will Smith with 4 more hits. But the loss to Bobby Miller after a great opening start for the season. The young right-hander, former first-rounder of the Dodgers, allowed 5 runs in the 2nd inning. Just could not finish the frame. Threw a ton of pitches, over 40 pitches in that inning, didn't finish it. Dodgers were 7-2, but lost at Wrigley. Another day game there tomorrow. Texas and Milwaukee with home wins. Atlanta as well in 10 innings, 6-5 over Arizona. The women's Final Four finishes on Sunday. The championship game will be Iowa against number one South Carolina, which is 37-0 now. It may have finished undefeated last year, keep in mind, except South Carolina lost at the Final Four to Iowa in this game in Cleveland against NC State, a 3 seed. South Carolina only led by a point at halftime, then outscored them in the third quarter, 29-6. Ashlyn Watkins had 20 rebounds off the bench. The Wolfpack shot 32% from the floor, end the season 31-7. North Carolina State as a team tonight, only 5 assists. 12 turnovers. South Carolina has been so sensational all season long. Put it this way, they have averaged a 30-point win this year. Averaged, not only won every game, averaged winning by 30. So to be only up one at the half was notable. And then they look like South Carolina right after that. Championship game is Sunday against the Hawkeyes. Iowa beats UConn 71-69. Iowa was down quickly 13-5 tonight. By mid-second quarter, Iowa was down by 12 points. They got within 6 at the half. It was tied going to the fourth quarter. Iowa wins by 2. The key call made with 4 seconds left. UConn never got a shot off because of an offensive foul on a pick. 21 points for Caitlin Clark. Iowa's a 1 seed in this tournament for the first time since 1992. Saturday night, the men's national semifinals. Men's title game is Monday night. In the NBA late game in L.A., the Clippers have been destroying Utah all night, and Kawhi Leonard of the Clips is still out with knee inflammation, but Utah is a team that's lost 10 in a row, and the Clippers, with 4 minutes left, lead 120-93. Toronto had lost 15 in a row, but won at Milwaukee, 117-111. Giannis Antetokounmpo was out with a bad hamstring. Damian Lillard in defeat, 36 points, 7 turnovers. And the next game Jason referenced, it was Chicago at home, 108-100 over New York. Jalen Brunson, 35 points, 11 assists. Josh Hart of New York was kicked out with a flagrant 2 foul.
How many by the same official who called the moving screen on Aaliyah Edwards.
Really?
Same
finished official. In Chicago.
Yes. And got on a jet
to Cleveland.
Got to Cleveland because it's not very far. Got on the court and made that call.
Wow.
It's like when Van Damme got on the ice in sudden death and was the
Pittsburgh,
goalie for a while.
Yeah,
I mean, that's exactly what happened.
And then did he make the call and do the splits? Wasn't that the case in the Van Damme movie?
Yeah, he did. Absolutely. Yeah.
Late NHL game, Arizona is leading 7-4 over Vegas with 2 minutes to go. Earlier wins for Carolina and for the Rangers.
Thank you, Steve-O. Just like in basketball, successful game plan starts with the right players. The team at Tractor Supply brings hustle and heart, and that's what really sets them apart. So, lace up your sneakers and make the winning play by heading to your local Tractor Supply store today. And if they tap you on the shoulder, step to the side and let the others finish the ride. Coming up next, yes, the officiating call at the end of that game was awful. But there's actually somebody else who didn't even play tonight that comes out of Iowa and UConn looking worse. Who is it? We'll tell you next. Jason Smith, Steve DeSager in for Mike Harmon. The Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Steve DeSager in for Mike Harmon tonight. Just like in basketball, successful game plan starts with the right players. The team at Tractor Supply brings heart and hustle, and that's what sets them apart from the rest. So, lace up your sneakers, head to your local Tractor Supply store today. Huge controversial ending tonight. Caitlin Clark and Iowa beat UConn, return to the national title game. Coming up in 10 minutes, you will hear from Gino Auriemma and Paige Beckers, who will talk about the call at the end, the illegal screen that turned a UConn possession at the end of the game with a chance to win it into a turnover and giving the game to Iowa. But there's something else, Steve. I mean, we need to get to this part of it again.
Okay.
We need to get to this part of it again, because I opened the show by saying, now I'm pretty sure I'm a better college basketball coach than Kim Mulkey. I am pretty sure I am better than her.
Pretty good material this weekend on that front.
Yeah. No, but I'm pretty sure I'm a better coach, because I saw tonight in the game exactly what she should have done and why I thought this was going to be a tougher run for Iowa. And I still think Iowa's going to wind up losing to South Carolina on Sunday, but we'll get to that coming up next hour. One of the big reasons, one of the three reasons I gave you why Iowa will fall short, is that there's no way Gino Auriemma and Dawn Staley are going to look at how LSU approached this game against Iowa and said, okay, we're not just going to let Caitlin Clark run around and score, right? Of all the decisions that Kim Mulkey's made, that one on the court is one of the worst. I can't believe she's made a worse one in her career on the court than that, saying, hey, I'm going to throw Haley Van Lith at Caitlin Clark, and when it looks like she can't do it, I'm going to stick with it. And in the end, what happened? Caitlin Clark portalized Haley Van Lith, who is leaving. She portaled her, because now she's leaving LSU. It was
transferred.
Right, so
she made her do the reverse Jordan.
Yes,
instead
exactly.
of like Michael Jordan in the early 90s, I can't believe all these shots are going in, and his palms going up in the air. It was the defender actually.
He's like, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?"
Can't believe it.
It was such a horrible decision, and it was hubris or arrogance, or just maybe Kim Mulkey just thought, "Hey, we won the title last year, and we won it okay, and Caitlin Clark had a big offensive game. We can do it just like we did it last year." Okay, I kind of understand that a little bit. I don't really understand going in saying, hey, Haley Van Lith is going to guard her. She's 4 inches shorter. She's not your best defender. But, okay, you still think you win that way. What do I know? You get to halftime, and you see, okay, wow, boy, really, Caitlin Clark is doing whatever the hell she wants to. She's so loose with all her passing that you are just watching her just try to zip passes over people's heads and getting turnovers because of it. All right, but at some point, you're going to have to change that defense, because Caitlin Clark is doing whatever she wants to, and she never does it. And Caitlin Clark controls the game offensively, shooting, distributing, rebounds, everything. And LSU goes home because Kim Mulkey screwed it up so bad. And I knew Gino Auriemma and Dawn Staley are going to take a different approach, and they're going to make Caitlin Clark earn everything. They're going to have a shadow. They're going to be physical with her, and they're going to make it really, really difficult for them to win this game. And I told you when I made my pick, I don't know that UConn can go all the way and do it, because they only have six. They're not at full capacity. The end of the game is going to get difficult for them, but they're they're going to try it. And what did we see for the first two quarters? It was fantastic. Okay? Nico Mule was phenomenal. Following Caitlin Clark everywhere she went, Caitlin Clark had a really bad first quarter and a half, and you thought UConn was going to run Iowa right out of the building. And eventually, Iowa was able to get back in the game a little bit. UConn getting tired. They feel, look, you have the best player in college basketball, and she's the best player that any of us have ever seen. Yeah, she's going to get her points. She's going to find a way to hit the scoreboard. But this strategy by UConn was incredibly good. And really, when you saw the first quarter and a half saying, this is what you do, you make somebody else try to beat you besides Caitlin Clark, and Caitlin Clark couldn't hit anything from three. She was turning the ball over. She only had 2 points for the first quarter. This was exactly how you needed to do this if you were LSU. And if I'm Angel Reese or I'm Flo J. Johnson, I'm watching this game, I'm Haley Van Lith, I go, why didn't we do this? Why didn't Flo J. Johnson guard her? Why don't you put your best defender on the other team's best player? It's not rocket science. But Kim Mulkey just decided to not do it for whatever reason, and she cost them the game. And as bad as it was that night, and it was bad that night, it was bad the next day, it's doubly worse now when especially you see, hey, if you try to, you can slow her down a little bit. Because while Caitlin Clark still had a good night, I mean, I'm not saying she didn't, but this wasn't Caitlin Clark destroying the game. She barely had enough. All right, 21-9-7, yes, looks like a great game, but not great from three, and it was a 2-point game, and you almost beat a number one seed. You made that into a game where it was up in the air, and you were controlling that game for the vast majority of the first half. It looked like you were going to blow Iowa out of the water. There is a way to slow Caitlin Clark down, make her earn her points, exhaust her. It's what I expect South Carolina to do on Sunday, and now trying to come back after Friday to Sunday is going to be a much more difficult thing, but you can see there's a way to do it. Kim Mulkey looks even worse tonight than she does of coming off the game the other night.
First off, I would say Caitlin Clark might be the best guard we've ever seen in women's basketball. There is a long line of great centers from Cheryl Miller up through Breonna Stewart and beyond. But first half tonight, you'd think would be some sort of a continuation of the last game Monday when they won the regional final against LSU, because Clark played every minute of that game in the win over LSU, and from three-point range was 9 for 20. First half tonight from three-point range, 0-for-6. And we mentioned it as this game was going on and nearing halftime. Iowa fell behind by 12 to UConn tonight, mid-second quarter. And we both said it on the air. They'd better not still be behind by 12 or more at the half, or else this is really going to be an uphill slog, because there weren't a lot of runs, and this wasn't going to be a big high-scoring game like Iowa usually has. They usually score more than 91, not the 71 they wound up with tonight. They got it close by halftime, and then Clark was great those opening minutes of the third quarter. And instead of uphill, it was a little more downhill for much of the second half. They were only down 6 at the half. It could have been much worse.
That is the biggest moment of the game for me, outside of the call at the end that gave the game to Iowa, is that with a 4-minute mark to go in the first half, UConn's got a 10-point lead, and it was the biggest 4 minutes for Iowa to say either they're going to go in at halftime getting blown out, or they're turning this and keeping it a game. And they were able to play a great 4 minutes and go on a run. That 4 minutes right there, to me, that was the big difference in the game, from it being a UConn blowout into Iowa coming back and winning. We'll have more on this coming up next, and you will hear from Gino Auriemma coming up next. Keep it right here. We can't wait to hear what he's got to say.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Harmon with the night off. Special delivery, Steve DeSager is in. Just like in basketball, successful game plan starts with the right players. The team at Tractor Supply brings hustle and heart, and that's what sets them apart from the rest. So, lace up your sneakers and head to your local Tractor Supply store today. Credit where credit is due, Steve DeSager. Faced with the most important 4 minutes of their season, without a doubt, the four most important minutes of their season, they're down double digits. Iowa claws back. They go on a big run to end the first half. And now, UConn, as dominant as they looked It's a six-point lead over Iowa and Caitlin Clark, 32-26 at halftime. This game could have gone one of two ways. UConn is feeling it. They're up big. They're guarding Caitlin Clark tremendously well. She goes to halftime with just 6 points, 3 out of 11 from the floor, and it was it. This is 4 minutes of our season. We got to have it right now. And they went on a big run. UConn didn't make any shots. Look, Paige Becker's only had 7. It's not like she's dominating either. But UConn could have really run away, and now Iowa's made it a game. And now you get to halftime and see what kind of adjustments we make in the second half. And does Caitlin Clark come out and start bombing away? Is she something they tried to use her facilitator? Whatever it is, but Iowa, they absolutely had to do this, and they go on a big run, and now it's a 6-point game.
I hope it's not bombs away, honestly. She's 0 for 6 from long distance. A problem, not just that shooting. 4 assists, 3 turnovers. She can be what she's been all year. One of the great aspects of her career is a creator, not just facilitator. It's just they get so much out of possessions because of her, and it's not just launching three-pointers. And we both agreed last segment, when they were down 10 late first half, you better not go to halftime down more than 10. Because the way you're going, as a team, it's going to be a pretty, pretty tough uphill climb. I honestly thought you were going to start this segment with, let's give credit where credit is due, me. Because, look, Iowa made a run. Well, sure. Iowa made a run. We'll congratulate you as well.
Oh, no, no. I'm taking more credit because I could have coached LSU and they might be playing tonight.
Yes.
If I was coaching. I'd say, you know what I'm going to do? Hey, I'm going to put my best defender on their best player. So, Flo J. Johnson, you're going to cover Caitlin Clark. Make sure she doesn't do anything. We will win this game. Just stay on her. Don't let her shoot from the logo. Don't let her heat up. Make sure you're always on her. That's and really, this game is illustrating just how badly Kim Mulkey coached that game the other night. It was because I don't understand how you go into the. It's almost like Mulkey thought, hey, I can will my team to win this game, or we can still win with the strategy I put out there. Caitlin's going to score a lot of points, but we're going to beat her because we did it before. We did it last year in the championship game. It's a lot of the same players. I don't have to worry about deviating at all, and it's good. We're going to do the same thing we did last year. And okay, and I can understand that to a point, but then you have to realize, hey, it's not working for us. Maybe the run and they tie the game going in at halftime the other night was the worst thing for them because they thought, okay, we don't need to adjust. The game is now, we got it where we want it. It's halftime. We tied the game. Everything is fine. And maybe they would have adjusted earlier if they were down 10 going into halftime or something else. But at some point in the game, you have to realize we can't let Caitlin Clark run amok. And that's exactly what UConn has done tonight. They have stopped her from running amok and controlling the game, and she's forcing a lot of shots from the outside. She is way short. She's not getting any clean looks. Even 8 feet behind the three-point line, she's not getting clean looks in this game.
And running amok is the definition of what she did last game. In the win against LSU, it was not just 41 points. It was 12 assists on top of that. It was a ridiculous effort, especially the winner going to the Final Four type of game. And yet here you've got UConn, and I'm curious to see something you mentioned in the first half, something that's obvious, that they don't play a lot of people. UConn doesn't have depth on the bench. Is that going to come into play? Is that going to be another reason for Iowa to think, okay, we just got to stay close, we can take this in the end, because they can be fresher in the final 5 minutes of this game? UConn's only shooting about 40% from the floor, Iowa at 38%. Notable that Iowa has had quite an uphill climb just to make it reasonable at half. They're down 32-26 at the break right now. UConn got out to a 13-5 lead tonight. By mid-second quarter, and these are 10-minute quarters in women's college basketball, so first 15 minutes of play, Iowa had only 16 points. This is one of the very rare team that averages over 90 points per game. Men's or women's, if you get 80 points a game, that's quite a lot, because it's only a 40-minute game, and let's be honest, these are kids. It's a rare thing to see. Over 90 points a game, easily the top scoring team that we've seen this year. And yet they had 16 points first 15 minutes. They were down 12, in fact, at that point. 28-16. But they go on a 10-4 run to finish the half, and I'm tempted to say it's anyone's game at this point.
Well, and in the first quarter and a half, it felt like we were watching Iowa football on offense.
Yes, which we've seen more than 1 or 2 years. Let's just say that. You know, Caitlin Clark with the long distance shots, there are field goal attempts that don't come from some of those differences for Iowa football. Let's not go on a tangent on Iowa football. We could. Let's just say that. We could.
Caitlin, did you feel like you had good looks in the second half? Well, once I crossed half court, I was going up.
Yeah, right.
As soon as I walked over, hey, Dame does it, I'm going to do it. So again, we'll have more on this game coming up. 32-26 at halftime. Iowa really fights a big run to make it a game where they could have got blown out midway through the second quarter, but still, 26 points for Iowa, and they usually score so many. Caitlin Clark has been held to 6. Now, the other big news today, Bronny James, as we kind of knew the other day, is going to enter the NBA draft and the transfer portal, keeping his options open, just like many players do. I'm going to make myself open to the NBA draft. I'm going to get evaluated and hear what people have to say. And if I like what people tell me, I stay in the draft. And if not, then I go back to school. But it's different with Bronny James. It's different with him because of the situation. You know, LeBron really wants to play with him when he gets to the pros, even though you've heard the last couple of days, Rich Paul has said, no, it's not a qualification for Bronny to play with LeBron. No, everything's fine. Don't need to do it. So with Bronny James being the transfer portal, like, what's going to happen now? And I'll tell you exactly how this is going to go, Steve. I'll tell you exact, knowing how Bronny James and his career has been handled so far, I will tell you how this is going to go. Mm-hmm. He's going in. First of all, he's not getting drafted. He's not going to get drafted at all.
Well, he could take his name on the list by late May. Maybe right. This can get him into the combine in May,
right. But he's not going to get drafted, right? He's not good enough to get drafted. I don't know that a team is going to use a pick when they know. Stop. The Knicks are fighting. I have Josh Hart stop getting kicked out.
Knicks.
He's not going to get drafted, right? It's not going to happen. But what they are going to do is use time for this. If Bronny James, and they talked a lot about, and you've heard from LeBron, hey, in the right situation, it doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter because I have the money. What matters is that he's in the right situation to be in to play. So you already know that LeBron and his family and Bronny look at college like, well, we could still play well in college. We could play better, but are we going to be in a better situation at some point? It's good that you're in the right situation, which I disagree with. I think you need to be a star in college, and then you're going to wind up being in a great situation because a team is going to hold on to you if they think you are an asset longer, if you were a star player, than if you're someone who, hey, we think you might be someone that could be something down the road. But this is how LeBron and Bronny see it. I disagree, but that doesn't matter because I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. If they get a wink-wink handshake from a team saying, hey, we're not going to draft him, but in free agency, we will sign him as a UDFA. And we'll sign him as an undrafted, because I can't believe there's any situation anywhere where he gets drafted. So it's going to be, and this is why he's probably going to stay in the draft, because you can then pick where you want to go. It's not a big deal if Bronny James doesn't get drafted. As Team Bronny has said, the money doesn't matter. So if he gets that wink, wink, hey, we'll sign you as a UDFA. Don't worry, stay with us. And if that's a destination that they want, that they feel is the best place for Bronny to succeed, where, hey, he's gonna get time here, he'll play in the summer league, we're going to do this with him, we feel he can play here, he can play here. If they feel that that's the right situation, he will stay in the draft, not get drafted, and then sign with that team right after the draft is over. If they don't get that assurance that a team is not going to take him, then he's going to transfer someplace else and go play someplace else where he will see more time, where he will likely start. It's no longer about, hey, I can go someplace, play big, we can win and go far in the tournament. This is where you need to be selfish and say, I got to go someplace where I can play. You know, Duquesne has already been thrown out there as a potential destination for him because of his ties with the head coach. So if he gets that, yeah, no, come here, and whatever the right situation LeBron and Bronny want. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're looking for stability, but are you looking for development? So whatever they think is a good situation, if they get that assurance going into the draft, he stays in. And if that happens, I'll know 5 minutes after the draft is over, he's going to be someplace on a UDFA deal. If not, he'll go back to school for a year and transfer someplace where he's going to start and play a lot of minutes, and then they will reassess in a year from now. That's how it's going to go for Bronny James over the next few months.
I think he's actually going to have a half an hour special on the Ocho and say, I'm taking my talents to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's how it's going to go. You mentioned Duquesne, of course, famously, now that they made a run to the NCAA tournament. Duquesne's coach this past year was LeBron's high school coach. He is now retired, and the Duke's new coach was a high school teammate of LeBron. So that's why that has come up. Minutes is what we need to be talking about here. This is a legitimate conversation to have about this person and its relation to LeBron. I'm not saying it's not news. I fear that it gets talked about so much in the past month plus that it gets equated with actual players, actual stars, actual, let's say it out loud, more talented basketball guys. And just through conversation, some people get the impression that Bronny James is the equal of these other people. He is not. He just needs minutes. He didn't even get 20 minutes a game, much less 20 points a game at USC. It was under 5 points per game. He was fine in the McDonald's All-American. Did he earn his spot in the McDonald's All-American game? Okay, I'll say okay, he did. I think it's clear that his high school career, he wasn't the best player on his team, but okay. Randomly, I look back at the McDonald's All-American roster from 5 years ago. James Wiseman, Nico Mannion, Oscar Tshiebwe. Those guys had actual college careers, and what are they doing now? So let's really, really put our foot on the brakes regarding what Bronny James is currently and what he's going to become in his basketball career.
Now, see, I think you buried the. I'm going to give you Mike Harmon. I think you buried the lead. An hour long special, right after the draft is over. Here's our first two rounds. Here's our breakdown, really fast. Here's the big winners. Here's what we think did great. But now let's go to the Bronny James undrafted free agent special, where we find out where he's going to play his pro career.
It's better idea.
And Jim Gray does the interviews and he answers one question for an hour, and it's great. We find out as a UD, he gets the phone call on the air. Hey, yeah, I'm calling you. Yeah, I'm going to sign here. That's where I'm going as an undrafted free agent. I think we can have that.
You know how the NBA is going to split it up, and they've seen what the NFL does for draft ratings. The NBA, of course, thinking it is the equal of the NFL, says, hey, I have an idea. Okay, please, you're not what is the equal of the NFL in this country? But okay, run with it. The idea is, let's just do the first round one night, and then we'll have a whole separate night for the second round, to which I say out loud, I'm a basketball fan and haven't heard of half the guys that are taken in the first round in your sport. So that's an awful idea. So while we're on that train, let me just suggest this. We'll do one night for the first round, then a separate night for the second round, and then on the third night, we'll have the Bronny special. How about that? It's the equal of the NFL draft, right? We can have a whole weekend.
I'm with that. I like that. I like that. I can get along with that.
That's a really good bad idea. Yes,
that's like we keep people viewing all the way to the end. Okay, well, because I got to see where Bronny goes. I got to see where it is.
Well, yeah, viewing is in the eye of the beholder. By the way, they've started the second half of this Iowa-UConn women's Final Four game in Cleveland. The first half, for those who are unaware, was the only half in Caitlin Clark's long college career where she didn't make a three in the first half. She was 0 of 6 from long distance. They've hit a shot at the start here. It's now UConn 34-29 over Iowa. Iowa with the ball. We're just a minute into the third quarter.
Just like in basketball, successful game plan starts with the right players. The team at Tractor Supply brings hustle and heart, and that's what sets them apart from the rest. So lace up your sneakers, head to your local Tractor Supply store today. So with a 34-31 lead for UConn, Steve DeSager has more on this game and the rest of the night in sports with what's trending. But Steve, if you want to start with Edwin Diaz's ninth inning for the Mets tonight, I am okay with that.
Wasn't there a base runner or two? Did they just barely escape here?
Doesn't matter. Steve, there are two columns. There is a win column and there is a loss column.
That's right. There's
and the
a save
put
column
one in the win column.
And a blown save column.
Did he tear his ACL?
So Frostburg, come on, man.
Wow, he put that out there.
Come on.
Craig Kimbrell also got a save tonight. So really,
how bigger saves can it really be? Craig Kimbrell got a save tonight. Yeah, great. Thanks.
Okay, women's Final Four in Cleveland. Number one, South Carolina, 37-0, beat NC State 78-59. South Carolina led by one at halftime and then outscored him in the third quarter. 29-6, Ashlyn Watkins, 20 rebounds off the bench. One seed Iowa is only down 2 to UConn. As they approach mid-third quarter, it's 36-34, and yes, Caitlin Clark has just missed another one from long distance. By my count, that's 1 of 8 on three-point tries. NBA, we've got 12 games tonight. The Knicks have just lost at Chicago. Harmon's Bulls, a winner, 108-101, despite Jalen Brunson, like every night, getting 35 points and 11 assists. Indiana and Portland with wins. Boston and Charlotte with victories. That Boston win. This is a Celtics team that's 61-16. They edged Sacramento 101-100 despite 40 points for De'Aaron Fox. You thought it was a rough start from outside for Caitlin Clark tonight. Sam Hauser's had his moments for the Celtics, especially in the last month or two. So he starts tonight. Jaylen Brown's out with a sprained hand. Sam Hauser was 1 of 18 shooting from the floor. You know, this is not like one of the two stars of the Celtics, and he keeps shooting. 1 of 18 from the floor, and probably nobody will remember, even in Boston, because they won the game, 101-100. San Antonio had a record of 18-58 and edged New Orleans on the road, 111-109. Mentioned the Chicago win, also victories for Memphis and Miami. Among the games in progress, well, there are a couple of note. Dallas leads in the fourth, 88-81 over Golden State. 8.5 minutes to go for the Mavs. Luka Doncic out tonight with a sore knee. End of the first quarter at Phoenix. Suns ahead of the Timberwolves, 32-20. And the late game's about to start in L.A. with the Clippers hosting the Utah Jazz, who've lost 10 in a row. Kawhi Leonard of the Clips still out with knee inflammation. 6 NHL games tonight. LIV Golf event started in Miami for the weekend. Sergio Garcia tied for first. Major League Baseball. Mets won 3-2 at Cincinnati. Philadelphia was a 4-0 winner at Washington. Aaron Nola, the winning pitcher. Washington Nationals have a record of 2-5, and the Washington offense went 2-for-28 in this game. Texas Rangers, defending champs, at home lead Houston in the ninth, 10-2. It's the Brewers over Seattle, top of the ninth, 5-3. And the late games in Anaheim, Red Sox already ahead of the Angels, 4-0, bottom of the second. This is the Angels' home opener. San Francisco with a run, bottom of the ninth, beat the Padres 3-2. Detroit with a run, bottom of the eighth, edged Oakland 5-4. The A's record, 1-7. And for those who weren't with us last night, the A's do have a 3-year lease to play in Sacramento, starting next season, with an option for a fourth year in case the Las Vegas stadium isn't ready. The AAA ballpark in Sacramento holds 14,000. Their attendance in Oakland averaging 6,500 so far in their final year on the Oakland lease. About 6 minutes to go, third quarter of the women's Final Four game. Iowa only down 2 to UConn, 39-37. Back to you.
You know, the funny thing is you mentioned the A's, and we talked about the move to Sacramento and just how just awful this is and how John Fisher is handling it. And, hey, come to Sacramento to see other players hit home runs, not my players. You know, the funny thing is that Moneyball is a big movie that both Zoe and I, my daughter and I, really just, you know, have bonded over, one of the movies. We run lines with each other all the time.
About but, the you know, Oakland A's, mostly true, recent history.
Yeah, that ignored Tim Hudson and Barry Zito.
They did have pitching, by the way.
Yes,
yeah.
They did. And they had Miguel Tejada, who won the MVP that year, but we run all the lines with us, and it's so much fun. And we just happen to be talking a little bit about colleges today and where she's interested to go. I mean, she's only a freshman; she's got a long way to go. But you know, she's friends with some sophomores, and they're talking about some schools in different mm-hmm. ways. And we don't care. And right now, like her like pie in the sky school would be is Cal Berkeley. Like it's where it's just, you know, Cal
good
Berkeley
academics,
a lot.
UC like, system,
oh.
Sure.
Yeah, like okay, Berkeley. And she goes, "Oh, Dad, and if I go up there, because that's so close, I'd be an A's fan. I could go to A's games." And I said, "Well, about that. Let me just, by the time you get to college, let me just tell you what's going to happen with the A's. It may be a little bit longer trip than you think.
Berkeley to Sacramento, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit longer trip. Because who knows? It may be 4 years in Sacramento.
True.
4 or 5 years in Sacramento. Say, who knows how long they're going to be there. But I was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that, but... Yeah, let me tell you about that. The Jason Smith Show with Steve DeSager in for Mike Harmon tonight. Phone number is 877-99 on Fox. Coming up next, speaking of the Final Four, yes, UConn and Iowa in a tight one. Who's going to walk away with the men's title? Steve DeSager and I'll give you our picks coming up next right here. This is Fox Sports Radio. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Special delivery, Steve DeSager in for Mike Harmon. And before we bring you our Express Pros Player of the Week, just to tell you what's going on right now in the semifinal game and how hard Caitlin Clark is working for buckets. Nika Mule has been on Caitlin Clark for the majority of this game, and I mean very close, stopping her from taking over the game. It's a 44-43 game. Caitlin Clark is starting to heat up a little bit, but she is having to go through so much. I just watched her go through two screens that were set that Nika Mühle was able to stay with her, and all the way to the point to a third screen where Mühle just kind of got lost finally. Caitlin Clark then backs out behind the three-point line and hits a three-pointer. Comes down a little awkward, and it looked like she turned her ankle a little bit, was in a little bit of pain,
yeah.
But is still in the game, still running around. But just as she went through three screens just to get the ball, and finally she was able to lose Nika Mühle for a second, who, shockingly, I don't know why she went to the basket. I'm like, you, Nika Mühle, you stay with her for that long, and then you go to the basket? Like, what are you doing? And Caitlin Clark said, okay, I'm stepping back right here, and I'm taking a shot. Like, you see the level of basketball that is being played right now that both teams are at. Iowa trying to get Caitlin Clark the ball, and UConn trying to deny her. It's just absolutely insane right now. It is just some kind of high level that we're watching right now between UConn and Iowa.
It looked like Steph Curry crisscrossing the court left to right in the offensive set. Iowa's just tied the game 45-45 against UConn. 3 minutes left in the third quarter of this Final Four game. Clark, until that last three-pointer, was 1 of 8 from long distance. The free throw she just made after turning her left ankle, her first free throw attempt tonight. And I got to repeat something from earlier this hour. She's only up to 5 assists, 3 turnovers. Granted, you can only get an assist if a teammate knocks down the shot. That is part of the equation. But she can affect the game in so many ways more than just three-point attempts. She can't get married to the three, even if that's what's half open at this point.
And the other thing to look out for, because we talked about this last night, I said you want to look at conspiracy theory and getting Caitlin Clark to the final, take a look and see how the game is being officiated, because UConn only plays 6 players, and the more players that wind up in foul difficulty, the easier it's going to be for Iowa to get their shots, because they can't foul out, because I think Rebecca Lobo is the next person to come in.
She's right courtside. So
they have 2 players with 3 and 2 with 2. Midway through the third quarter of a 45-45 game. Meanwhile, Iowa has 2 players with 2, including Caitlin Clark. But definitively, twice as many fouls called on UConn as have been called on Iowa so far. So this is another thing that can tip the game over the course of the last few minutes.
Yeah, and it's not all conspiracy theory. I mean, there are fouls, including replays, they show that were legitimate fouls being called. But you're right, it is part of the game when a team is only playing literally 6 players. We're almost through 3 full quarters here. They still only played 6 players, and this is not unusual for UConn this year. The record for the Huskies coming in was 33-5, Iowa 33-4. I think people kind of equate this year's UConn team with like an LSU. Oh, they don't have quite everybody from championship years. They're not a 1 seed, not even a 2 seed. They still have just about the same record as Iowa.
So we'll have more on this game coming up in a couple of minutes. But right now, it's time for the Express Pros Pro of the Week. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help. Express is hiring for jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Check out ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com. And now it's time for the Express Pros Pro of the Week. It could be Edwin Diaz with a big save, but probably
we said pro.
It could be Caitlin Clark, but probably not. Knowing Justin Frostberg, I would assume your Express Pros Pro of the Week is a guy who had a home run today in a losing effort. Said, hey.
Wait, you had to get the losing effort in?
I got to make sure people know. I'm just telling the truth.
I wasn't on the teleprompter.
I can't. Don't you know that he'll say whatever's in the prompter?
He's not Charles Barkley. He doesn't just read everything.
He said it, please.
I can't lie and tell people it actually happened. Hey, Dodgers win again today, 45-0.
Let them figure it out on their own.
Okay. So the Express Pros Pro of the Week, someone who went 2 for 5 today, including this home run, to get his batting average up to .286.
Hey, you just be you. He hits one in the air down the line towards the right field corner that blows just inside the pole. Just barely stays fair. Shohei Ohtani has homered in back-to-back games. And the Dodgers are back in this one at 6-4.
And Dodger security is still beating that guy up.
Yeah, just trying to get that ball. Hey, we're in here. No, we're Wrigley Field. We have it. No. We got it.
We need to talk. I think that was the sentence. We need to talk.
Congrats to Shohei Ohtani for being our Express Pros Pro of the Week. And here's something that nobody in baseball wants to hear is that the Dodgers finished this week. You know, we get into the weekend now, 7-3. Which is a fantastic start to the first 10 games. And Shohei Ohtani is just starting to hit in the last couple of days. Like, they've done – this has been Mookie Betts. This is why you've been hearing Mookie Betts
and
everywhere,
and
Freddie Freeman and Will Smith. But Mookie Betts, I think he's scored more runs than the rest of Major League Baseball, something, whatever you want to say. They have been so good, and Ohtani is just starting to hit. They've won 7 out of 10, and they really have gotten not a lot out of Ohtani. Yeah. Now, look, the home run last night was a big one. It was an insurance run, but it turned out to be the game-winning run. They lose today, but now you're talking about how well they're playing, and now Ohtani is going to start hitting. Yeah, this is
with the Dodger offense for 5 years now. This is Mookie Betts' fifth year with the team. It has been so true. When he's on, the whole offense is different. It's an amazing thing to witness in a night by night sport. And Mookie Betts, to say the least, has been on the first week plus of this season. So yeah, they hadn't missed Ohtani's bat those first few games.
But yes, the Cubs did win this game 9-7 over the Dodgers.
Allegedly.
They did. Yes, we have to look and see.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.